On Friday in Davos, Russia announced that it would be extending asylum to master leaker Edward Snowden. On Thursday, the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, an independent federal watchdog, released a thick report deeming the NSA's bulk collection of phone records revealed by Snowden illegal and calling for it to stop. Meanwhile, a new Pew Research Center poll found Americans taking an increasingly dim view of those NSA surveillance programs since the big reveals about them leaked last June. But how passionate are we? Pew found that 91% of us heard nothing or just a little about President Obama's recently announced changes in the programs, and roughly three-quarters of us believe that they won't matter anyway. But we do seem to have strong opinions about former NSA contractor Edward Snowden. Here's Representative Mike Rogers speaking to David Gregory on Sunday's Meet the Press.
This was a thief who we believe had some help, who stole information the vast majority had nothing to do with privacy. Our Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines have been incredibly harmed by the data that he has taken with him.
And we then Rogers took the gloves off.
I don't think it was a gee whiz luck event that he ended up in Moscow.
Now, Rogers' views cleave closely to that Pew poll that found your view of Snowden can be predicted in large part by your age. People over 50 are far more likely to think that Snowden harmed the public interest. The younger you are, the more you approve of what he did. However, Pew senior researcher Juliana Horowitz says that the generational split shrinks considerably when the issue of criminal charges comes up.
Among the 18 to 29-year-olds, 57% say that Snowden served the public interest with these leaks. 35% say he harmed the public interest. But they're split evenly. 42% say the government should pursue a criminal case, and 42% say it should not.
Among the 30 to 49-year-olds, nearly half of the respondents, 48%, think Snowden served the public interest. But even more than half, 56%, thinks that the government should pursue a criminal case against him.
You can dislike the NSA programs and also dislike Snowden, and you can think that Snowden served the public interest but still think that what he did was criminal. It's a more nuanced story than simply Snowden's a hero or not.
On Thursday, Attorney General Eric Holder told the University of Virginia audience that the government is open to talking to Snowden on the condition that he plead guilty to criminal charges.
The notion of clemency was not something that we were willing to consider. But as I said, were he to come back to the United States, enter a plea, we would engage with his lawyers.
And presumably that would be a guilty plea to something.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That same day, Snowden was engaged in a live Twitter Q&A courtesy of the website freesnowden.com. He said that the law he's charged with breaking forbids a public interest defense, which means, quote, "There is no chance to have a fair trial and no way I can come home and make my case to a jury." Recently, the nation's most revered whistleblower, Daniel Ellsberg, called Snowden a hero. When the president spoke about the NSA programs last week, he said he wouldn't dwell on Snowden's actions or motivations. But
if any individual who objects to government policy can take it into their own hands to publicly disclose classified information, then we will not be able to keep our people safe or conduct foreign policy.
And certainly, not only did Snowden expose unconstitutional intrusions into the privacy of Americans, he also revealed our spying operations abroad, which presumably are what intelligence services the world over are created to do. Did he act to protect the rights of Americans or dismantle what he considers a surveillance state? Does it matter why he acted? Does it matter why journalist Glenn Greenwald brought Snowden's leaks to the world, or why WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange helped Snowden get to Russia? New Republic contributing editor Sean Wilentz has just written a cover story asking the question, would you feel differently about Snowden, Greenwald, and Assange if you knew what they really thought? Sean, welcome back to On the Media.
Great to be here.
So that was quite an in-depth piece, but before we get to it, I just want to disclose that in it, you cite a column by Slate writer Fred Kaplan, to whom I'm married. That said, some have described your piece as a smear job on Snowden, Greenwald, and Assange, but that's not how you see it. So why did you write it?
Well, I wrote it because I think the story was not being covered. This is a very polarized story. Distinctions like, is he a traitor or is he a hero? And that doesn't strike me as a very useful way to go about thinking about this story. You can be both. But the main problem was I didn't think that the story was being covered.
Although you took almost everything in your piece from previously published reports.
Well, exactly, but it's all scattered. And, you know, if you establish the chronology, you see things that look much more interesting. The first thing was the discrepancy between Snowden's narrative of how he came to be a secrecy activist and what, in fact, his writings actually showed. Some of his writings turned up on a site called Ars Technica. And his story, whereby he got very angry at the intelligence under Bush, and then Obama was coming in, and he thought Obama would change the intelligence policies, and he was very angry when that didn't happen. The chronology of his postings doesn't corroborate that.
So what story do his postings on Ars Technica tell?
Stuff that shows that he is very much against leakers. He would like to have them castrated, I'll put it that way.
He thought that leakers should be castrated when Bush was in office.
In 2009, just before Obama's being inaugurated. That's when that post dates from. So something he wrote does not match up with the story that we've gotten.
What about the Russian business? There's been some incredibly irresponsible speculation by congresspeople on our major Sunday bloviation shows.
Yeah. Well, look, accusing somebody of being a Russian spy and going in and doing what Snowden did without any evidence is terribly irresponsible. The question is, why does he go to Russia? He had talked about wanting to, you know, be in a country very, very nobly that, you know, was a free country so he could do his work. Russia is not exactly the place that you would have chosen off the top of the list. So how did he end up there? Then there's a backstory, which I discovered, about Assange's connections with the Putin regime. So the whole thing begins to take on a new light.
Assange did say that he was helping Snowden with his legal case, right?
Well, that's right. But more than that, in getting out of Hong Kong and over to Russia, Izvestia actually reported that Russian intelligence worked with WikiLeaks to make that possible.
You suggested that you can't really understand Snowden without understanding Assange, and that it was important to put the three of them into one piece. And why is that?
These are three very different men, very different temperaments, very different backgrounds, very different ideas, but they have some things in common. Many of their supporters believe that their object is to try and end these malefactors from ruining American democracy. But I think there's something deeper. I think there's a view of national security which is paranoid. And I try to show in the piece how that common thread shows up in their writings and what they've talked about and so forth. I do think that a lot of people on the left don't understand the libertarian background, especially of Ed Snowden. But this is information that was on the web. Anybody could have reported it. And it throws a different light on Edward Snowden than I think a lot of people on the left might imagine him to be.
It may, but why does it matter? The world is full of problematic people doing things that ultimately enhance the public good. An unsympathetic defendant in a court case could be a terrible poster child for a cause, but he could still help set precedents and establish excellent law.
I'm not trying to disgrace Edward Snowden. I'm just trying to say, who is Edward Snowden? It in no way diminishes the value and the importance of some of what has come out about the NSA, which is very disturbing. But that's part of the story. It's not the whole story. There are portraits that I'm drawing on the basis of what we know that show that Snowden in particular has a series of ideas which are very much a part of the libertarian right. Now, there are ideas that he had some years ago. We don't know how he's developed, except he did support Ron Paul in 2012 with a couple of contributions. That's where he seems to be coming from. With Greenwald, he's a complicated character, but he has views that, from what I've read, that are just at the point where the radical left and the radical right can meet. I don't think he's simply a libertarian. I think he's more complicated than that. But the libertarians will tell a young hippie or something, we should legalize marijuana. And then he'll tell a businessman, no more regulations. The point is to bring together the libertarian right and a section of the American left into some kind of popular front, if you will, against the surveillance state or whatever you want to call it. I just want to know where he's coming from. With Assange, I mean, the Assange story is bizarre. But there it seems to me that, you know, the fact that he is has a TV show on Putin's network and so forth, what it suggests to me is that he's much more tight with the Russians than anyone has yet found out.
You wrote that the value of some of their revelations does not mean that they deserve the prestige and influence that has been accorded them. And then you go on to say the records they leave suggest they really aren't interested in reforming our intelligence operations. They really don't think there should be any intelligence operations.
Well, it's hard to see what kind of intelligence they would be able to accept, especially if they're going to be saying that what the NSA has done is an attempt by the U.S. government to know everything that you have ever done in your life. It just doesn't make sense. That's the paranoia that I'm talking about. I think it's a way in which people think that this dark surveillance state is capable of any wrongdoing and will only be engaged in wrongdoing.
It's an interesting story, and from a historical point of view, it's an important story. But in terms of the immediate consequence, does it really matter who these people are or what they believe if the information they provide helps us examine and improve our democracy?
Of course it matters. That is not to say that the revelations that have proven to be true are not useful. So for that, we can congratulate them. But that's not all that matters, because we've had a tremendous breach of national security here. So what are we to make of that?
You told our producer, Sarah, that the distinction between motive and outcome is a false distinction.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I think that you can't understand a story of an event happening without understanding motives and outcome. You can't separate one from the other. That's not to say that finding out about motives should in any way diminish the importance of those revelations. Not one bit. But I think to say, look there, look there, look there, don't look there, don't look there, only look there, is not the way that we go about being an enlightened democracy.
Okay. Sean, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Sean Wilentz is an American history professor at Princeton University and contributing editor at The New Republic. His latest cover story for the magazine is titled, "Would You Feel Differently About Snowden, Greenwald, and Assange If You Knew What They Really Thought?"
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.